Keep warm, yeah, not a problem. Keep cool, that's another story, but hydrate, hydrate, hydrate no matter what, especially when it's 96, 97 degrees. But you have to hydrate all year round, even today, especially with a 30-degree swing, 67 to 97 before we're through, and again, feeling like over 100. Let's check in for the next hearing of the House's January 6th committee, scheduled for this afternoon. The focus is on the 2020 election at the state level, especially in Arizona and Georgia. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne takes a closer look. Good morning, Marie.
And good morning, Paul. This will be the fourth public hearing this month for the January 6th committee. And this hearing will focus on President Trump's actions following the election and his conversations with state election officials. Expected to appear before the panel are two GOP election officials from Georgia, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, and Gabriel Sterling, Chief Operating Officer for the Secretary of State's office, as well as Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers. He's also a Republican. The former president lost both Georgia and Arizona to President Biden in the last election. In Georgia, the former president urged Raffensperger in a January 2nd, 2021 phone call to, quote, find enough votes to make him the winner in that state. Raffensperger repeatedly said the president's claims of widespread voter fraud in Georgia were false. In Arizona, Bowers, who backed the president in 2020, received a call from him and Rudy Giuliani, the former president's lawyer, in late November 2020, urging him to have the state legislature substitute a slate of presidential electors overriding President Biden's win in the state, and that is according to the Arizona Republic. Both Raffensperger and Sterling defended the integrity of Georgia's election, faced intense criticism, even received death threats, and in the case of Raffensperger, a censure by the state Republican Party. Now, all in all, are people interested in all this? Will the public watch? The January 6th hearings attracted 20 million viewers live on the opening night, 11 million on the first daytime session, nearly 9 million for last Thursday's installment. It remains to be seen what will happen at today's hearing. It starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon, Paul W.
How have the, I know the, when they did their first one, the prime time show, the big production number, it had a lot of viewers. How has it fallen off when we've taken that out of prime time and put it in different times like this afternoon?
You're asking in terms of the numbers of people that watched?
Yeah. Because, when you said if anyone's interested, I just was.
Yeah. So 20 million, that was that first night for the prime time. 11 million for the first daytime session and 9 million for last Thursday's installment. Those were during the day. Naturally, during the day, you know, your viewership is going to fall off.
Sure.
So, but, you know, a lot of people say that this may be indicative of people being concerned and interested in other things that are happening in the country right now. You know, you'll remember that the Watergate hearings, 9/11 hearings, the Iran-Contra hearings, they all had high viewership at the time that they were broadcast.
Good. All right. Same people who think that saving 18 cents a gallon in gas is a big deal, they're going to think this is a big deal, too. So I don't get in their way on all of this. They will have to balance this because at one point or another, the average person is going to say, okay, we get it. Enough is enough. Are you going to impeach him a third time? Can you impeach a guy who's not president? Can you actually think you're going to get him arrested and thrown in jail? Anything to keep him from running for president again. I understand that, but pretty amazing. Here's the more important question, Marie, at least for me. Would you eat a ketchup popsicle?
No. You know, I like my... Sean's laughing. I like my food to stay in their lane. So,
oh, that's a nice way of putting it.
So popsicles, I love popsicles, but they should remain sweet and
wonderful.
You
popsicle.
Know, like that, yeah, right? Cold, yeah. Sweet.
A cherry popsicle.
Yeah, and I love ketchup. Great. And I you are right. The best tomatoes come from Leamington. When my dear mother, dearly departed mother, canned her tomatoes, my mom and dad actually drove to Leamington to buy their tomatoes to can. because they're just so spectacular, right?
They're that good.
Oh, they are that
good. I do notice a difference in tomatoes. Kim actually taught me, and they have pretty good tomatoes in Western New York and in some of these other places. And I hope around here, too. It just depends. I mean, if you get the tomatoes out of season and they, like, gas them in the truck when they're...
Oh.
When they're bringing them here.
Yeah, some tomatoes are strip mined. That's why they taste. You know,
they don't taste like tomatoes.
No, and I've actually read that tomatoes and strawberries, you know, scientists are always working to recreate those flavors in laboratories. I mean, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
So those are the two hardest flavors and items in the food world to recreate because their flavors are so complex. Some notes are delicate, some are, you know, more bold, and it's just hard to get that balance, right? A great strawberry, a great tomato, there's nothing better.
Sean just did it again. He was talking to you without his mic on.
Oh.
None of us can hear him when he's doing that. So what did you just turn to her?
I know I went, huh? I was like, wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting because it is, when you think about it, there is a, you know, certain flavor profile.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Like a good strawberry and a good tomato.
Well, you made my mouth water just
I
then
know,
when you said
just
a good strawberry.
Thinking about it, right?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I've had good ones. I've had bad ones.
I know. Michigan strawberries are in now. So now's the time to buy them.
So
you know,
good.
If they're coming from here in Michigan, our local farmers, they're the best.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. All right.
Very nice good. Little strawberry shortcake sounds good right about now, doesn't it?
It's been a long time since I've had strawberry shortcake.
Sean, that sounds like something up your alley.
Yeah, well, it's
and
good.
Can you do me a favor? Don't smoke it.
No.
Strawberry shortcake. I know you smoke everything.
No, those fresh strawberries.
Yeah.
You can just keep popping them. Oh,
and you
so
know,
good.
For Anne, we could even put a layer of yogurt in there.
A little yogurt on the strawberries.
It's actually
you got her attention.
Good.
You know, Anne is one that also says there's a time and place, basically. You know how you said you want your popsicle to taste like a popsicle? You don't like food leaving its lane. Well, Anne doesn't want desserts to leave their lanes. You know that she has a season for pies.
And it's cherry pie season, by
the way. Oh, all right. So it's because before she said, well, it's not even pie season.
Strawberry rhubarb, actually, Anne, if I could correct you. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to, but
Marie's right.
Strawberry rhubarb. My Grandma Edna on my dad's side used to make the best rhubarb pie.
My grandma did, too.
Isn't it something?
Yes.
And we would go out and pick the rhubarb out back by the garage.
Same here.
And, are you guys all going to be in tomorrow? Because I got rhubarb in the garden.
We're going to be here.
Strawberries.
Okay. Now we're going to be here. All right. As we continue on News Talk 760 WJR.